How's everyone doing today? Good. It's great to have everyone here. So happy to see you. I hope you had a good Christmas season, right? It's a great time. We get to have gifts and celebrate the birth of Jesus. This year for Christmas, we got our kids a little puppy. So that has been amazing and interesting. But our kids love it. And, it was just time. So it's just very exciting news to get unwrapped this living thing. And yeah, we had it in a box. Hopefully that's not cruel. I think it was okay. It's only a couple seconds. And she popped out and the kids just went crazy, like ecstatic. So today I want to talk to you guys about good news. We've been on this series about joy because this is a joyful season and there's so many things that we can be joyful about. And there is so much joy that can come with good news. I'm going to open with a verse. It's found in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful the news kind of depends on your situation. The bearer of the news is not inherently beautiful. They might not be a beautiful person. A dirty firefighter who comes and saves you from a burning building, that's beautiful, even though they might be dirty and a mess. Just ask how beautiful those rescue workers were in the 9/11 attacks when they're pulling people out of the wreckage. That's beautiful. A doctor telling you that the cancer is gone, there's nothing left in your body, that's beautiful news. Doesn't matter what the doctor looks like. Doesn't matter who he is. It's beautiful. And if you're dying of thirst and someone brings you a cup of water, that's beautiful. Even if that cup is cracked, that cup is dirty, it's a mess. Doesn't matter. The news is beautiful. Your state when you receive the news determines how beautiful it is. So how is your situation right now? We're coming near the end of this year, 2020. And I'm sure the majority of you can't wait for it to be over. You're like, enough of 2020 already. I've had enough. 2020, it has such a nice ring to it, doesn't it? 2020. We started this year with a sermon series, 2020 Vision. And we talked about what God was going to do this year. There was going to be breakthroughs and God was going to move. 2020 Vision. Well, hindsight is 2022, isn't it? When you look back. And now that we have a chance to look back at the year that was 2020, maybe it wasn't that great. Most of us are looking forward to this year ending. It's a year where a virus has gripped us, where our lives have been disrupted, and when we've been left with more questions than answers, honestly. Where fear and anger has caused division among friends, division among families, and unfortunately it's caused division among churches. The church is dividing all the time. This isn't news to us. If you've been a Christian, if you looked at the churches, you know, there's different denominations. These are splits based on things that we can't reconcile as Christians. Sometimes they're tiny things, don't seem to matter to the observer, but they're so important to the people that they divide. So we become Christians with a tag, Christians with a distinction. We use words like Baptist, or Presbyterian, or Reformed, or Catholic, or Pentecostal, and the list goes on. There's been many, many divides. I believe there's going to be a division over COVID-19. It's like a mini-reformation. It's already happening. Depending on which side of the fence you sit politically, you're choosing whether you may leave your church, join another church, because you don't like what your church is doing, you don't like where your church is at. And there's more division, and that's sad. Another sad fact is that churches everywhere are losing members, right? Christians are deciding just not to go to church at all. And I'm not talking about just in person. People are also deciding not to go to church online. It's not that hard to roll out of your bed, right? You can show up in your pajamas. Today we showed up in person in our pajamas. So you have no excuse. We work hard and we put in a lot of effort in our online platform, and many other churches do too. So if you're not coming in person, you got to be coming online. The truth is, they were just waiting for any excuse not to come to church. But I'm speaking to you guys. You guys are here. But they were looking for any excuse to come. Some people have given up connecting altogether. So there's a division in the church. And there's been a shaking of Christians. And there's been a falling away. You know, when we get shook, sometimes we fall away if we're not rooted. So right now we are hurting. We are hurting as individuals, and we are hurting as a church. But though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. You can almost finish that sentence. And right now we're going through the night, but I promise you guys that morning is coming. Good news becomes great news in hard times. The tougher the time, the better the news. Think about a millionaire getting $1,000. He might just find it and he's like, oh, that's cool. Like, whatever. But that $1,000 to someone who has nothing is life-changing. Ask people in a third world country. Ask people starving who can't get their next meal. Right? Ask parents who throw their babies into dumps because they can't afford to take care of them. $1,000 is a lot of money. This month we're talking about joy. This month we celebrate the joy of Jesus coming to earth. And this year we need joy more than any other. I believe we're primed for good news. I believe we're hungry for good news. And I believe we're ready for great news. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, I just ask that you would enter into this place, God. We need your presence. We need your spirit. We need your leading and your prompting, God. I ask today that you would fill me with your words that I may speak to your people, God. Just lead this service today, Spirit. Thank you for everyone that's come here today. And bless them. Amen. So let's talk about good news. Throughout the Old Testament, there's been many messengers who bring the good news of the coming Savior. People like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, there's many others. Romans chapter 1, verse 2. It says, God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This good news was to bring hope to the people. The people of God, there'd be an end to their sorrow. There'd be a way to get over that separation that was put there by sin. A way to reunite with God, their Father, in relationship again. Sin caused the division, but Jesus would come as a light into the world and he would save lost souls. Jesus was the fulfillment of the good news. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. He came in before Jesus and he started preaching and said, their Savior is coming, the day is near, and he knew that the news was what was important. So much so that when John got thrown into prison, Jesus didn't come to him. Jesus didn't come and try to get him out. But what did Jesus do? He continued to preach the good news. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. During the ministry of Jesus, his good news was used to describe his teachings. Anytime Jesus had a sermon, he would call it the good news. It was the good news, the good news. Jesus was always pointing people back to God the Father through himself. Finally, when Jesus died on the cross, it was the fulfillment of the good news. That we had been saved by the sacrifice that God made by sending his one, his only son. The early church shared this good news to everyone who would listen. That's what the book of Acts talks about. The church coming together, talking about what happened that day when Jesus gave his life, and that we could be saved and there could be a hope in a future. People accepted this good news all over. The church added to their numbers daily, and that's how we became to be today as the church. The good news in the Bible, it started as the good news that was to come. Then it was the good news living in the flesh, and it's become what it is today. Good news that we are able to preach to the end of the earth. And as long as there's ears to hear it, we're going to share that news with people around us. Amen. Once you accept Jesus into your life, you are qualified to share this good news. You don't need to be a Christian for so many years. You don't need to be a seminary student. You don't need to be an expert in theology. You don't even need to know what those words mean, right? Once you know that you've given your life to Jesus and asked him into your heart, you're qualified to do that. You're even responsible to do that, to share the good news that Jesus is alive. The good news that Jesus left behind the Holy Spirit as a helper. And he can help you share that good news. He'll open doors. He'll give you opportunities. You just need to take that first step, and you'll be amazed at how God can work these things together. I've seen it time and time again. Where's your focus today? Is your focus on your problems? It might be. Is your focus on all the negative news that's out there right now? I feel like everywhere you look, right, it's all negative. Some of it's made up. All of it's made up. I mean, some of it's made up. So why would you watch this worldly news when we have this good news right here in the Bible? This good news that is going to feed into you and going to build your character. When you turn on the TV or look on the internet or read those articles on your phone, it's all negative, and all it's doing is instilling in you fear and anger. Are you tired? Are you weary? Then come to Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" This is a promise that Jesus says. And doesn't a little rest sound pretty good right now? You know, we've been so worked up. And Jesus says, just come. The good news of Jesus is that we are not alone. Jesus wants to take on your problems. He wants to take on all your concerns. He wants to deal with your fears. God is able to fill your every need. He longs to fill our every need. We don't need to worry about anything. Right? God says, worry about nothing. Look at the birds in the air, the flowers of the field, how I clothe them. Right? Surely I'm going to take care of you. We don't need to worry about anything. God fights our battles, and God goes before us. Too often, we try to outrun God. We try to get ahead of him, right, don't we? We try to fix things on our own. We think we can take care of it on our own. We try to keep it all under control. We try to control our environments. We try to control our situations. We try to control our finances. We try to control the outcome. We try to control our children. We try to control our friends and the relationships we had around us. Some of us are a little freaky about our control. And here, Jesus says, you don't have to do that. I have a plan for you. I'm going before you. I'm fighting your battles. I am preparing a way. Right? That's what God says. Why do we take it upon ourselves to do those things? God wants to go before us and prepare a way. Once you accept this, your life is going to be filled with a lot more joy. Right? All that tension you put on yourself, all that stress you put on yourself, suddenly it's just lifted away. Because you're taking it off yourself. You're giving it to God. You're not fast enough to outrun God. There's been people in the Bible that have tried. They've tried to get away from God's calling on their lives. But God always catches up with you. You think of someone in the Bible like Jonah. He was asked, go and preach to the people of Nineveh to say that God was going to save them. Jonah didn't want to do it. So he went the other direction. He ran away. And we know the story. He ends up getting swallowed by a whale and spending 3 days there just to think things over. You know, God had to work some stuff out. If you rush too fast or try to escape God, he might just stick you in the belly of a whale. He might just put you on a timeout till you come to your senses. Or maybe God's going to shut down all of society. Maybe God's going to force us to take some time, right? Before this whole COVID thing, we're all running around, not knowing where we're going, just working for the sake of working, busy for the sake of being busy. But maybe God wants to put things in perspective. What does God say? God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. We serve a jealous God. He longs for all of our devotion. couple weeks ago when Cam was speaking about that definition of joy, and he's talking about how God was over us dancing and singing and arms up and just filled, looking down at us. So much joy. And that's what God's doing all the time. He's just looking at us. He's so satisfied with us. We put these things on ourselves saying we're not good enough, and God's like, no, you're good enough. I love you. I love you more than anything. I love you so much that I gave you my own son to die. And all God wants in that moment of looking down at us is for us to look back up at him with that same joy. Just like when you have a young child, doesn't even have to be your child, when you hold them in your hands and they look up at you with that smile, that's everything to you. That's all God longs for us. It's just to give him back that worship, that praise, and that adoration. We're made in his image. Our faces display his likeness. No other creature in all of creation. And the billions and trillions and I forget how many septillions of galaxies there are, we are what he created in his image. We look at our Savior with love. We look at Jesus born in a manger, just so innocent, so tiny, so perfect, so pure. Not a care in the world. And then we look at Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for our sins. It's our sin that put him there on his shoulders, and he took our place. And then we look at Jesus risen from the tomb, leaving that empty tomb behind. Jesus overcame death. He took the sting out of death so we don't have to suffer it. We can live an eternal life because of what Jesus did on the cross and also what he did through his resurrection. Our Savior, he's in our hearts. And the joy of good news, it brings us together. 2020, it may have been a year filled with adversity, but on the other side, there is breakthrough. The good news is that Jesus takes us from the miry clay, takes us from the dirt, and he forms us into something beautiful. When we give our life to him, he begins to work on us, begins to change us. He has this image in his mind, just like a potter. He knows what he wants us to be, and he starts to work on us. Don't forget about where you were before Jesus came into your life. Don't let some silly thing like a bad year separate you from God's love. God is bigger than 2020, and God is using this year to build his church on firm foundations. That's what this is doing. When someone goes into cardiac arrest, they hook them up to this machine, I think it's an AED, and what it does is it sends a pulse through their heart because their heart is beating in an irregular pattern, and the shock to the system hits them, and all of a sudden their heart begins to beat on a regular pattern once again. Well, COVID-19 has shocked the church's system. I believe this shock will bring us back into a healthy pattern. You don't miss something until it's taken away from you or till the threat of taking it away is there. And right now we're not experiencing church in the same way we're used to. We're not experiencing church in the same way that maybe we took for granted. But coming to church is a privilege. Moreover, it's our responsibility to God to gather together, to be his hands, and to be his feet. Helping those around us to see light in a darkness. That's what the church is. We are to remain in him, and then he will remain in us. You know, Jesus talks about how he's the vine. We're the branches, and when we're in him, we're healthy, we're being fed. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 says, you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. Our hope is in God alone. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. Don't turn away in this season, but press in deeper. Hold on tighter, together as one, and be part of this strong foundation. Luke chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it talks about God separating his people. So it says, he is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with the winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. So John is talking about the good news, and he's warning them. Lots of warnings like this. How God's coming, He's going to shake. There's going to be a separation. Even people that are followers of God, that have devoted their life to God, there's going to be testing. And where are you going to be on the other side? Are you going to be chaff? Or are you going to be wheat? God gathers up the wheat. He puts it in his storehouse. You want to be the wheat. You want to have that never-ending life because the chaff God gathers up, sweeps it up, throws it into the fire. A never-ending fire. It's just torture. Sometimes something's not true until it is truly tested. And this is a season of testing. We will see what remains. What remains in Jesus. What remains of his church. This whole situation, you look at people around you, and they can no longer hide. That's what this time has done. We can no longer pretend. Either you've received and experienced a relationship with Jesus, your loving Father, and just having kind of a breezy time through this, really. Not a worry in the world. What does Jesus say? He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Are you drawing near to Jesus? You're in that vine. It's not that bad. So you're either on that side, or you haven't, and you feel lost. You can't take it anymore, and anger and fear has consumed you. If you're part of that group that's lost right now, the good news is there is hope. There's always hope. If you have been faking it, you're not lost. There's two types of Christians, right? Because we can say we're Christians. There's a Christian in belief. They say all the right things. They say the right words. They believe. They say they believe. But they don't believe in action. They don't go out and do what it says in the word. Right? If you're only a Christian in belief, you're not getting out there and you're not loving your neighbor. You're certainly not loving your enemy. You're not loving that person that just cut you off in traffic. You're not loving your neighbor who maybe leaves their garbage at the end of your laneway. Instead of just taking it, moving it, it's really easy. But people get so riled up. And that's why there's this thing where people see Christians and they call us hypocrites. Because we're not living what we believe. So they say, you guys are so just angry like me. You guys are just messed up like me. Why am I going to go follow and go to your church if you're not being a Christian in action? And there can't be that break in what we are. People have to see us for truth, because Jesus is truth. Jesus calls us to act. The first thing Jesus said, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. First thing, I don't think that's an accident. God wants you to take action. There's still time to be in authentic relationship with Jesus and to be in authentic relationship with those around you. There's always still time. It's never too late. How you are in the church, in the body, it's a reflection of your heart. It's a reflection of your walk with God. How you're acting. I encourage you to open up more. Open up more with each other. Like, no man is an island. We need to be in community. I believe right now that's why it's under attack. Make no mistake. There is an attack right now. It's a spiritual attack because Satan knows the power that we have when we come together in a group and we meet with each other. All those divisions I was talking about in the church, all those divides, all those different denominations, if we could somehow get past our differences and come together, we would have so much power. We would have the power to influence politically, to influence economically. We can put any change we want according to God's word. But Satan knows that. So divide, divide, divide. If we came together, we'd be unstoppable. If you want to be in a deeper relationship with God, if you want to hear from him more, if you want to experience him more, feel him more, then open yourself up to relationships with those around you. Relationships that go beyond the surface, where you can truly open up, share each other's burdens, and bring them to the feet of Jesus. When the angels came and they announced the coming of Jesus, I really like what they said. You know, they said, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Good news of great joy for all people. It's a sermon in itself. The good news is that there is a Savior born, a way to have your sin forgiven. It's a free gift. Jesus, he's the only way into salvation. There's no other way. It's easy. It's a free gift. It's grace. But we have to choose it. And what follows is great joy. When we follow God, we have great joy. And what's great joy? It's a joy that's deep down within your soul. It's not just a state of being happy. It's a joy that's not influenced by what's going on around you. Right? It's a joy that transcends all that. And even though you're going through stuff in your life and stuff seems crummy and it's miserable, even though you're suffering the loss or you're experiencing pain or you're struggling with things, you can say, it is well. You can say, it's all good. It's all good. You know, I got this. God's got this. I got a church who supports me. I can get through anything. That is the type of joy that the angels were talking about. Good news of great joy. Not good news so you can build buildings and have your own denominations and separate and do your own thing. No, that's not what it says. It says good news of great joy. So you can come together as a body and you can worship, you can celebrate me, and you can bring more and more people into it. And that's where we come to the next part where it says for all people. The great thing about this news, it's for all people. Every single person, not just the chosen Israelites, not just for people dedicated to living their lives according to what God says, not just for people who have their lives together and are beyond approach like the Pharisees, right? The angels could have came to the Pharisees and says, hey, you guys are on the in. I got some great news for you guys. Anyone who is of Jewish descent, anyone who is an Israelite, anyone who is God's chosen people is now going to be saved. He didn't say that. The angel said, for all people, those outcast from society. And Jesus, when he came, he certainly displayed that, didn't he? He hung out with tax collectors, prostitutes, right? People who were caught in adultery. The Samaritan woman wasn't even from his culture, wasn't even supposed to be talking to her. People with leprosy, people who were like dirty and not even part of the culture at that time. He said, come, children. He told the children to come. See who he's preoccupied with? All people. Because he came for all people. I just love that. Good news. The news was the best news ever. It caused great joy. And it was for all people. We are stronger together. We need one another. As much as a body needs feet to go somewhere, they need eyes to see, hands to do the work. That's why God says we are his body. The Bible describes us as a body. It doesn't matter what part you are. You're all needed. Everyone here today is needed. From the brain down to the baby little toe that you think does nothing, but actually balances out the entire body. Right? If you didn't have a baby toe, you'd be falling all over the place. It's not a good thing. So we need all of you. In this season of joy and good news, I encourage you to spread the good news to everyone around you. It's not enough to simply believe the good news. We must act on the good news, and we must share it. Do you believe? Do you believe that God came to earth and he died for your sins? Do you believe that? And if you do believe that, are you living your life according to that belief? I'll just leave you with that thought. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for everyone in this church today. I thank you for everyone that's joined online today, God. I just ask that you would pour out your blessing on them. God, that even now you could stir up inside them a joy that will not be influenced by the world. A joy that will not be influenced by their circumstances or their surroundings, God. God, I just ask that you would encourage everyone here today where they're at. Whether they're not feeling that great, whether they're lonely in this time, God, missing out on being with people. God, I ask that you would just give them a special touch of your presence. God, so that they can know that you are there for them and that you love them, God. God, I pray for us as a church that we could reach other people out there as we have been doing, God. Thank you for blessing us, for blessing others, God. God, we just choose to follow you with everything we have. Choose to make that decision because it's never too late. You're here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus and you want to stop pretending. You want to stop faking. You want to make that decision to follow him today. If that's you, then I just encourage you to say this prayer after me. It's really simple. Dear Jesus, I ask you into my heart. I ask you to save me from my sins. I make you Lord of my life. I choose to follow you all the days of my life and live according to what you teach. Thank you for your grace and your love. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the first time and you're here today, I just ask that you would lift your hand up as we keep our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if that's you. And online, I encourage you just to hit that button. Say you made that choice to follow Jesus. Thank you, Father. God, I just ask that you would be with us this week as we go out. Just fill us, God, with your words of encouragement. Just to reach people and bring them into the fold, God. Bring them into the joy that you've given each and every one of us that would overflow so much that we couldn't help but share it with those around us. God, thank you for this day. Amen. All right, now as we close, I just want to give you guys an opportunity to give. You can give to the ministries at this church. Church is involved in so much, doing good things. And if you want to give, we have 6 ways to give. Our tithes and offering, through debit, credit, check, cash, e-transfer, and we have the Tithely app. So you're welcome to do that. Also, encourage you guys to fill out connection cards. We have them at the giving stations. We want to get to know who you are if we don't have your information. If you're watching online, we just want you to give us your information. You can email us and hook us up with that. And as we close, we're going to have people up here for prayer. If you want to come, you want to get prayer, we just invite you to come and receive God's blessings today. I just encourage you guys to have a great week. Talk to you later.